The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED.
6 minutes after 8, and we got Mr. Outdoor standing by. Quick fire update. Jim's here, too. You wanted to weigh in quickly on the talk I had with Herman on the Pike Fork timber sale, or that land sale. And kind of a delay here. He wants to kind of put a deed restriction on it that it stays open to the public. But you wanted to chime in? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that one of the shenanigans that the BLM has done over the years is they do land swaps with private owners because under the auspices they want to make their all the land that they manage contiguous. And so that could be also possibly one of their plans. That's all I wanted to say on that.
Yeah, is there BLM land around that would then fit within that plan at Pipe Fork in Williams?
No, but what they would do, BLM, if BLM had it, then they could sell it to somebody for land that is contiguous.
They could sell it for land. So do you think Herman's right, though, to try to get a deed restriction on it that, hey, listen, the people in Williams were saying, we want this land to remain here, but we want it not to be logged, and we want it to be open to the public. Do you think that's a reasonable restriction to make sure that it would stay open to the public?
Yes, very much so. Same thing with the Sportsman's Park.
Okay. All right.
Herman's right on the money.
All right. I appreciate that, Jim. Thanks for the call. Let me go to Mr. Outdoors, Greg Roberts over at RogueWeather.com. Wanted to check in and get a quick fire update here. And 1,500 acres at Salt here in Jackson County. And what about Northern California here, Greg? Why don't you give us the latest, what we got going on?
Okay. So Salt Creek, as of this morning per ODF, was being listed at 1,700 acres.
Okay.
And last night when I got out there and took a look at it, quite frankly, I was shocked at how little that fire had moved. There really was not very much movement to it at all. I saw a lot of smoke start billowing up from it around 4:30, 5 o'clock from in town, and thought it was blowing up again. Well, apparently what it was doing, it was cooking off some interior islands of fuel, may even have had some reburn situations, it's hard to say. But in terms of comparison to Sunday evening night, mm-hmm. fire activity was very much diminished. Saw some single tree torching, saw some flare-ups when it hit some areas of brush, or areas of brush got dried out enough to really go. The one area that I saw develop while I was out there last night, there was a spot fire that got going on Biberstead Butte, which is the big mountain directly to the north of Highway 140, when you start running up the little Butte Creek Canyon. I saw a spot fire get going, and I was watching it, and by the time I left, it was probably 2 to 3 acre spot fire, but it was doing a lot of downhill extension, which told me that as it got going and was burning, stuff was rolling out, because typically the only way you're going to see downward extension by fires is it's either going to be spotting downhill, and it was not, or material is going to start burning and roll out, and it looked far more like rollout.
Okay.
To me, watching the behavior of the fire.
So is this then with Salt Creek pretty good news then that they'll get a good handle on this if these conditions continue then?
Yeah, no, this is excellent news because, again, when I was on yesterday, we were talking about the fact that I thought we were probably going to be 72 hours of really big extended attack mm-hmm. unless the fire blew up and ran yesterday. Well, it didn't do that. So, yeah, now I'm pretty sure we're looking at about a 48-hour period here of heavy extended attack, including the big aerial attack, which continued yesterday. And I did get some great videos of Neptune Aviation air tankers dropping right in front of me. They're still continuing to work more of that southeast portion of the fire, but rather than out in front defensive drops like they were doing on Sunday, yesterday, those drops were more directly to the fire, because it was backing downhill towards Highway 140, and they put some drops in to kind of check that progress of the fire as it was backing down again. And that's something else. On Sunday, it was spotting out in front, and then the spots were sweeping back uphill. That was not anything I saw yesterday. Just nice kind of a gradual backing with single tree torching and some flare-ups as stuff, you know, hit critical burn.
All right, so this is guardedly optimistic at this point in time. That's great. How about Shelley Fire? We got about 4,000 acres on that one so far. And
I am looking right now at Northern California Interagency Dispatch Center information from Redding, and the Shelley Fire is now officially 6,261 acres. It is 0% contained. They are reporting that in the last 12 hours, meaning the overnight period, active fire behavior with backing and flanking observed. The communities of Etna, Fort Jones, and Kidder Creek all remain threatened. I'm going to extend that to also include Cheeseville and the Greenview areas of the Scott Valley, because that fire, it hit the Kidder Creek drainage and it's made a big run to the northeast and slightly to the east, a little bit in the direction of Etna, but the big major run is coming right down that Kidder Creek drainage, headed right straight at Cheeseville and the Greenview area. Those would be the first areas of impact in the Scott Valley.
All right, very good. Hey, Greg, appreciate the report here. Bunch of people online. I don't know if they want to talk to you. We'll find out real quick. This is but when they call when you're on, I figure they have a question. Let's go to line one. Hi, you're with Greg. Do you have a question for him or something else?
No, this is Bill.
Oh, hey, Bill. Did you want to weigh in on that? Bill Simpson, no. Go ahead.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. Great. Hang on. Let me go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Lauren on Eagle Point.
Yeah, Lauren.
Hey, Greg, they reported about 10 minutes ago that it's 3,305 out at Salt Creek. Had you heard that yet?
No, I had not heard that yet. I did look at the new map, though, that is out this morning, and did notice there is considerably more area included now within the fire area than what I had seen previously. That doesn't surprise me, but again, I did not see a whole lot of growth. I think what they did was they got the fire more accurately mapped, which okay. is always a great thing. But that progression where it should have grown to the east-southeast just did not happen. And that was pretty clear looking at that, because Biberstedt Mountain, the progression on that, I was so shocked that there really was not a lot in terms of its furthest distant point to the east-southeast. Just hadn't really significantly grown.
Okay, thank you very much, Lauren. I'll take one more call, and then we got a wrap for this time. But, question for Greg, go ahead.
No, I don't have a question for Greg. I will wait and let somebody else take that.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's what happens sometimes. That's what happens sometimes when we don't have a call screener here, Greg, but we manage
okay. Yeah, you know, exactly. The life without a call screener.
Yeah, but that's okay. We're working it. Hey, thank you so much. Anything breaks, of course, you're always welcome, and we'll check in again tomorrow. I think we should do this for the next few days, probably. Okay?
Yeah, probably, especially while we got the Salt Creek situation, but mm-hmm. right now, I think the area of greatest concern is going to be down there on the Shelley Fire as it approaches the Scott Valley.
Definitely the sounds of it. Thanks so much. And Greg Roberts over at RogueWeather.com, 14 after 8.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Dreaming of moving to your dream property in the county? Most rural properties rely on a well. Plowser Drilling is here to make sure your dream doesn't turn into a nightmare. Before you buy, you'll want to make sure the well is producing plenty of water. If a new well is needed, making sure the property has good water is vital. Plowser Drilling can help. They have drilled thousands of wells in Southern Oregon and can help you make an informed decision. Plowser Drilling can perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Visit PlowserDrilling.com.
We've heard it all.
That ditch was way too close to the road.
You know, fifth wheel trailers, man, they are terrible on tailgates.
Next time I see a yield sign, I'm just going to stop.
Better gauge the wind speed before you open the car door.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Coming up on the next Hughes Lumber. When 2x4s get together, only one thing can happen. Walls get built. Check out the studs, followed by contractors and do-it-yourselfers. Featuring lumber, hardware, and siding. Starring decks, additions, and ADUs. It's the return of home enhancements. But watch out for that knotty pine. Get the best build for your buck values at Hughes Lumber. Your top show for quality, price, selection, service. So don't miss Hughes Lumber on Crater Lake Highway next to Garrison's.
106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
I'm meteorologist Bobby J for NBC5. Mild start this morning, likely to have the smoke and haze at least through the early afternoon hours, clearing further south. Another hot one, high of 107, breezy into the afternoon hours. We'll drop to 67 tonight, 103 Wednesday, 102 Thursday.
We are in uncharted waters. There has never been a presidential election like this one. Emotions are white hot. Donation requests are never ending, while loud voices say, don't donate at all. Email and text bombard us. So here's a little help. I'm Kim Commando for Incogni. Stop robocalls, spam text, junk email, and remove yourself from the internet. Get 60% off today at privacykim.com. First, whether you donate or not, never donate through a text or an email link. The chances of fraud are extremely high, and cyber crooks are using legitimate-looking political ads to take users to malicious websites. If you do want to donate, go directly to the candidate's official website. Next, for really bothersome texts, block the sender's number. But remember two things. Spammers will quickly get another number and hit you up again. Finally, the anti-spam laws were written by politicians. They exempted themselves from those very laws. But you knew that already, didn't you? Get your home address, social security number, and more off the internet at privacykim.com.
I'll never forget when my son asked me where in Los Angeles I live so many years ago. I couldn't remember the house number on the street, but a couple of minutes later, Ian read me the exact address. He found it on a people search website for free, along with my personal cell phone number. Yikes. It's not just me. I hear from folks all the time, shocked at what they can find out about themselves online. That's where Incogni comes in. Instead of navigating these tricky sites, Incogni does the work for you. So far, they've removed me from over 150 websites. Plus, my personal data is on 24 data suppression lists, meaning it's illegal for these companies to get my name ever again. Even better, they check on a regular basis that data brokers didn't sneak me back in. Try it for yourself and see how easy it is. Get 60% off with Incogni at privacykim.com. That's privacykim.com. 60% off now. privacykim.com.
106.3 KMED. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Just keeping you informed on this Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. So many pebbles and boulders. And we're doing our best to at least keep you informed about them, if nothing else. And joining me right now, in this particular case, he has his Grants Pass City Councilor hat on this morning. And that would be Dwayne Junker, also a state rep. Dwayne, welcome back. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Dwayne, tomorrow, City of Grants Pass is going to do a public forum about the homeless camping situation. And the frustration which has been coming and building to a head. The pimple, I guess you want to call it, the legal pimple or boil was popped with the Supreme Court ruling the other week, though, saying that the Ninth Circuit is just kind of like blowing smoke and that it is not cruel and unusual to have our punishment to, you know, keep people from sleeping wherever they want out in public, you know, those kind of things. But there is a lot of there are a lot of people that kind of want to coddle the homeless situation still. Would that be a fair assessment before we go on? So there's a real battle between sides on this homelessness policy. And how do you see this tomorrow night event, which, by the way, is going to be 6 o'clock at City Council Chambers? How do you think this is just set the table. Where do you think this is going, huh? A lot of people frustrated.
Well, I think they have a right to be frustrated. They've been victims of the lawfare being unjust to the residents of Grants Pass. In the 4 years, we've been unlawfully hauled that all our parks except one have to be given up to homeless, and now we find out that that's not true, that's unconstitutional, that, you know, that the injunction that was placed on the city of Grants Pass because they were held by the Martin versus Boise and the Eighth Amendment, you know, status, it's not legal. So now the people want their parks back and they want to enjoy them and they want to use their tax dollars, you know, and enjoying them. And they don't want to see people shooting up and doing drugs. And
that's a reasonable request for people who are paying for the parks. I get that.
Yes, I think it's a very reasonable request from any city resident. And so
where is the rub here? Where is the difference of opinion? Because the Supreme Court said that, yeah, what the Ninth Circuit Court said in Boise, it's all BS. Forget about it. The state of Oregon, though, did pass in the legislature a, what was it, 3115, House Bill 3115, which codified some of that. There's two
laws that were passed in 2021. It's House Bill 3115 and House Bill 3124. 3124 actually gives a 72-hour notice for campsites, and that kind of goes into detail there.
Okay. So you have a notification deal. All right. Yeah. Okay. So you got to notify and then get out. Okay.
But there's this injunction that's been pushed back down to the Ninth Circuit Court, which, you know, my thinking is, you're holding us to a injunction that's unconstitutional. And that's what I'm looking at right now. It's unconstitutional what you did to us. The city of Grants Pass. Yes, you need to release it. But why are we being held today? This injunction that's unconstitutional that the Supreme Court said.
Well, it's because the state legislature, this is before you were in it, I guess, essentially codifying the injunction, which is it's going to be a real pickle, isn't it? Try to work with that?
Well, I've been reading this all morning long, you know, and it's just giving reasonable time and place manner for sleeping, and a lot of cities have already done that. Medford's done theirs, and Roseburg, and all these other cities have given time and place manner. Nowhere in here does it say you have to give up all your parks. I don't think that's reasonable. I don't think any reasonable person, whatever side you are, that says you must give up, you know, 20 parks to the homeless.
By the way, you, the other people in Grants Pass who are actually paying for these parks on their parks fees, right? Yeah, just like we have to pay for parks in Medford and Ashland, every other place. You'll have to keep paying for them. But, yeah, they're going to be turned over essentially to the homeless encampments. Yeah. All right. And so people are upset. But you're thinking that there might be kind of a predetermined outcome on this meeting tomorrow. And what do you think that would be? Or is there...
I'll give you a little bit of this email because it's not executive session. And I know I'm not the only counselor mad, but, you know... Since it's public knowledge, the press can get a release of this, is they only want, you know, from the attorney, this is, you know, our attorney and the city manager, you know, recommendations that we only free up four parks.
Only freeing up four parks from the homeless mob? Really?
Yeah.
So how many would then still be turned over to the homeless encampments?
I think there's like 20 parks. That'd be like... So they would have 16 parks for homelessness in our city. And I'm like, how about they only get four parks and we get 16, you know?
I'll bet the most of the people in Grants Pass would be okay with that. Sure.
I think that's a reasonable thing. And my recommendation is, it doesn't have to be a park. It could be a lot that we own. You know, hey, this is an area you could sleep in and rest, because we know we have to give them reasonable resting, you know what I'm saying? I'm not looking to break any rules of resting, and, you know, people are not going to hover in the world and sleep, you know, but hey, this is over here is where you can rest at, and we can have Riverside Park back, or Tussing Park, or Morrison Park, and our kids can enjoy the park, where I feel like this is already, you know, the baked in that this is what they want. I know some counselors I've talked to know. I know I talked to one counselor last night, and he's like, well, we got to follow the law. of the injunction.
Yeah, yeah, but the law does not mean that you. The law does not say that you have to turn over 21 of your 25 parks or however many there are to the homeless. That's not what the law says. It's not what the law says at all.
He's saying we have to allow the injunction to, you know, the Ninth Circuit to release the injunction. Well, I'm like, okay. We know that the injunction's illegal right now.
Yeah, but the injunction has no effect of law. It's not like the Ninth Circuit is going to send the military to take over the city of Grants Pass if they start ignoring it. Okay,
that's what my thing is. I go, where do we have cities that we have cities and states ignoring federal law and state law every day, and we're not looking to harm people. We're just saying, the injunction you put on us is unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, and we're going to give reasonable time and place manner, reasonable, to homeless people, and we're going to give our parks back to the residents of the city.
So you, all right. So you're proposing then that we have maybe four and 21 parks go back to the people. That's fine. That would be. I mean, I don't think you should have to turn over any park to the homelessness. But yeah, you're trying to. Not bring on more litigation, I would think. Now, the homeless that are currently occupying so many of these parks, would they fit in four? Serious question here, Counselor. What do you think?
We have some areas that are very big. They're not even parks, they're lots or things like that. And you got to imagine, so the time and place count. And you got to remember, there's a comprehensive plan of every city has. You have missions or shelters, or you have other groups doing things. Those are all part of your comprehensive plan for homelessness. And the Supreme Court said that, you know, that, you know, there's just not one thing going on in your cities to help homelessness. You got drug rehab, you got all those are cities' comprehensive plans. So it's not like we have to house 400 people on a piece of lot. That's not what happened. We don't have 400 tents in the city of Grants Pass or 200 tents.
Are you saying then that we might not have to, we being the city of Grants Pass, would not necessarily have to turn over any parks and they could just put them on vacant lots instead?
That is legal. From what I talked to the lawyer, he said, if there's a lot, yeah, you can do that if there's a lot available. And we have lots of properties that are not being used or maybe in the plan later in, you know what I'm saying, they're down the road 3-5 years from now for certain things.
Okay.
Or a park later on.
Are some of these lots then located in areas where there would be less conflict with the neighbors? Because I have to tell you, I would still be really upset if I were in a neighborhood that they decided that, oopsie, your park ends up being the one that we're going to keep with, you know, bum utopia is still next door to you.
I think that is a legitimate thing to sit down and talk about. What is going to be the less stress on the residents and the homeowners in our town? That would be a debate that we should have. It's like, okay, where is an area that we have? I don't want to go buy properties, you know, for homeless that are going to be the least amount of stress on the homeowners or people. And I think that is a legitimate debate that I could have with people.
Okay.
And I know some, you're not going to make everybody happy. I know that. So I'm just trying to put on a reasonable hat. You know what I'm saying? Someone will be upset. But the goal is to give our parks back to the people, so the children and everybody can enjoy them. You know, I had a man yesterday come up to me at Red Road Roasters. He says, I walk at Reinhardt Park and I go over to Tussie and I have to carry a gun now. Well, if you look at the legislative law, that would fit under I don't feel safe. You know?
All right. Well, let us then hope then, can you and other counselors then head off this this desire to maybe go with what the with what legal counsel is saying? Because legal counsel is not sounding reasonable to me if you're only talking about giving back four of the more than two dozen parks that are being paid for by the poor folks in Grants Pass on this because of all this lawfare. All right?
I think it's something, you know, you and I always talk about is you got to be a strong. You were put in this position to represent the people, the majority of people, and that's what my job is. And right now, I think some counselors are going to be unreasonable. They're going to be more favoring of either homeless, or we have to respect the law right now and let it keep continue to go down this road of, you know, wait for the Ninth Circuit to relift the injunction, whatever. I'm like,
yeah. Wait for Big Daddy Judge to take the boot off your neck. It's going to take some firmer response from the city of Grants Pass. This is not the time for Beeling being weak. I guess is what I'm saying here, Dwayne.
I think that the sale is in our side now, and we need to keep pushing in and say, hey, we're going to be reasonable, but we're going to be also give our parks back to our people that deserve them and pay for them, because that's what they're asking us to do. And I think if you do not do that, you're probably going to lose your city council job. Not that I'm too worried about that, but that's what we're representing the people, and that's what they're asking us to do. Some councilors are probably going to make excuses, and they should be held accountable.
City of Grants Pass, once again, listening session tomorrow. I hate that term, listening session. But that is what it's called nevertheless. And this is tomorrow night, the City Council Chambers, 101 Northwest A Street in Grants Pass. And it's all about homelessness and 90-second time limit on people chiming in. But at least there is some time to listen. And, well, I'm looking forward to hear what happens after that, Dwayne. And maybe we talk about it on Thursday, because there is probably no crisis bigger than this facing Southern Oregon cities. And City of Grants Pass has been affected more than others, been directly involved in the fight. Thanks so much. Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Was there something else you wanted to add? Sounds like you wanted to complete a thought there.
I was going to say that, you know, I don't think nothing's going to come out of wind tomorrow. Because the city council doesn't meet to the 15th for a workshop to discuss this.
Okay.
Tomorrow is just more of address your feelings, how you feel about what.
Oh, so it's just more or less a forum just to pretty much have at it then, in other words, right?
There is in the law, I think it's 3124, it says that you have to have this meeting or open public comments for any time you change rules.
All right. Thank you, counselor. Good talk with you, okay?
Okay, Bill, bye.
832. You're on KMED, KBXG in Grants Pass.
If you're searching for the best breakfast skillets in the world, a good place to start is Diner 62.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company takes pride ensuring their customers get fresh, clean water from field to tap. Here's a review from Stephanie.
Justin and the team are awesome. We've called them out to our home on two separate occasions, and both times they came and fixed our issues in a quick, efficient, and friendly manner. I can't recommend them enough. We'll only be using Siskiyou in the future.
Providing fresh water for Rogue Valley residents for over 50 years. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
At Father & Son Jewelry, we now have Lashberg Designs. They've revolutionized ring building.
That's right, Beck. Our customers don't have to settle for something someone else thinks is a great style. Instead, they choose the material, the design, the engraving, everything. It's their ring.
It's amazing. Choose one of 200 rings in our display case, scan the QR code into the tablet, and then watch the magic happen. So many options to customize and make it your own.
Come into Father & Son Jewelry for a demonstration.
The Rowe Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op.
A lawn that's poorly installed will probably last at the most between 10 and 15 years. You just wish that you hadn't wasted all your work and all your money. The difference to having a good lawn, one that can be good for 40 to even 60 years with proper preparation, proper planting techniques, and proper after planting care.
Talk to the Rowe Gardener Saturdays 10 to noon. Hear the Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET.
All right. We are going to have just a wild Diner 62 real American quiz. I love today's question. If you wanted to line up, go ahead. 770-5633, 770-KMED. And it's about something that happened in today's history, 1795, all right? So go ahead and sign up. We'll get you on here in just a moment before news. Captain Bill's going to join me here in just a few minutes. But the latest green outrages. So I guess we got that going on, okay? Let me go to Michael. Hey, Michael, how you doing this morning? Welcome.
Good, I'm good. You know, the things that bounce around inside my brain at times are very weird, and it gets to be sort of scary in there. So I don't know why this popped into my head yesterday, but I was thinking that with mail-in voting, being here in my northern compound up in Washington, I get my ballots about 3 weeks ahead of time. So what if I mailed in my Washington ballot and then changed my residence, legally changed my residence and moved to Florida or Oregon or California, where it may be, and I legally voted there as I changed my residence. So I can legally vote in two different states in the same election.
Huh. Hey. Well, given how things have gotten so loosey-goosey on your requirement of, well, you can sign up in Washington, as an example, practically right up to the time of the election, right, if I recall?
Well, yeah, but I'm saying I am a resident in Washington now, so we get our ballots like 3 weeks ahead of time. So if I moved after I mailed in my Washington ballot to Oregon, and I established a new residence in Oregon after I mailed in my Washington ballot.
And then you vote in Oregon, and
vote in Oregon as a legal resident.
Okay, well, what is the limitation, or how long do you have to live in Oregon to be a resident for election?
Well, I don't know, but there's people that are signing up the day of the election and such, so I'm not sure.
Huh. I'm going to have to look into that residency of Oregon. I know in Oregon they really reduced it. They really made that loosey-goosey in Washington, but I'll try to find out. I don't know off the top of my head. I'll get back to you on that one, Michael. But
yeah, it was just an interesting thought.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I appreciate the call. Yikes. My, how the Republic has fallen as contrasted to the 1700s, which is what we're going to talk about right now. Diner 62 Real American Quiz. By the way, they still have that half ham special, which is going on right now for $10.95. That's Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. only. And by the way, all your hearty breakfasts and omelets and all the good stuff, everything that made American great, you'll find it at Diner 62 when it comes to this. Skillets, waffles, biscuits and gravy, chicken fried steak, cinnamon roll French toast, you name it, it is there. And of course, Diner 62 is home of the Clam Chowder Friday. Get a cup, a bowl, or a bucket. Get a bucket if you want, right? You'll enjoy that. Let me go to line two, and you are first up in line. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
This is Chris in Medford.
Hi, Chris in Medford. Today is some history from today in 1795. Today, then, the United States debt is paid off. I know that you're really kind of crazy. Well, it was kind of refinanced, right? So that's it. And the person who helped do this, it was a debt that we had to France. Remember that France helped us in the Revolutionary War, that kind of thing?
Right.
Well, James Swan is the guy who did it. He was an early American patriot and financier based in Boston. He was a member of the Sons of Liberty, took part in the Boston Tea Party. Swan was twice wounded in the Battle of Bunker Hill. He became Secretary of the Massachusetts Board of War. And during that time he held office, he spent a lot of his own fortune to aid the Continental Army and the Revolution, which was then, hey, just suck and win. He needed money, all right? So anyway, Swan, today in 1795, acting on behalf of France, helped refinance the United States debt to France and paid it off. The national debt to France was completely paid off. Now, how much was the national debt? What do you say, Chris? Was it $100 million, close to $50 million, about $5 million, about $2 million, or around $750,000? What do you say?
So,
$100 million, $50 million, $5 million, $2 million, or $750,000. How much was our national debt then?
I'm going to say $750,000.
$750,000. No, it was more than that. We at least know that. So we'll go to the next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Hi, this is Calvin.
Hey, Calvin. So national debt paid off that day. $100 million, $50 million, about $5 million, or about $2 million. What was our national debt owed to France?
Let's go $2
million. Was it about $2 million? Yeah.
You're a winner!
Of course, you got to remember, Calvin, $2 million in 1795, that was some real money you were talking about, right? That was real money.
Big money.
Yeah, big money, big money. And it was actually $2,024,900 U.S. government gave him as an agent for France, newly issued bonds. And so they ended up selling it to private investors. The funny thing is that France was at war or having problems with Great Britain, and most of the people who invested in the U.S. Debt were actually Great Britain. So they were actually helping out France. It was weird. Just weird how this worked. But
hey, it's still going on.
Yeah, this is the one thing I want to tell you, though, about Swan. Swan's life ended in a really bizarre turn. So he went back to, and by the way, he worked all sorts of deals after the war, too, and just a big financial brain. He went back to France in 1808. And he was accused of not paying some piddly debt. It wasn't very much money. And he insisted he didn't owe the money. But the French court said, nope, you, James Swan, owe this money. And they threw him in prison. Well, Swan ends up telling his wife, whatever you do, you don't pay this debt. You do not pay this debt to the Frenchies. It's not, you know, out of principle. So he stayed there. And his wife funneled him a small fortune. So this guy is in house arrest in a Paris apartment, and he lives this luxurious lifestyle. He was throwing all of these parties at his big prison apartment. He was in prison, his prison apartment, for 22 years. Isn't that worth it? And his wife just kept sending him money, and he says, nope, we're not going to pay the debt. And so I guess his place was the place where you went to party in Paris, you know, at the prison apartment.
He was a rock star.
Yeah, he's a rock star of his day. But great story. So, Calvin, we're going to send you to Diner 62, and you just hang on, and it's a really, really fun story. News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
From the KMED News Center, here is what's going on. More hot weather today with a high of 108 expected in the area, along with poor air conditions due to smoke. Temperatures are expected to hit at least 100 degrees daily through the weekend. The Salt Creek fire burning northeast of Medford near Lake Creek in Jackson County was held to 1,500 acres Monday despite increased fire activity last night. That fire is now 40% contained. Air and ground resources aggressively attacked the fire as more adverse weather picked up Monday afternoon. A 20-year-old man allegedly shot and killed two teenage sisters in Klamath Falls. Elijah Croy allegedly told police he tried to kill the girl's father in a Klamath Falls house June 29th after the dad discovered Croy in his daughter's bedroom. The gun failed to fire when Croy shot at Toshka Qualls, but did fire when he then shot the man's daughters, Alika and Zion Qualls, killing them both. Croy's been charged with two counts of first-degree murder and one count of attempted murder. Bill London, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
The Sherm's Markets Jackson County Fair. It's an ag venture. July 16th through the 21st. Enjoy great entertainment, food, 4-H FFA exhibits, carnival rides and games, and more. Thursday, July 18th, Q100.3, KDRV, Wolf Performance, Guild Mortgage, and Martin Outdoor Property Group present Josh Turner at the Bi-Mart Amphitheater. One of the country's most recognizable voices with hits like Why Don't We Just Dance, All Over Me, Hometown Girl, and Your Man.
I can't believe how much it turns me on just to be your man.
Lawn seats are free with fair admission, but you're going to want to get close for this one. Reserve your seats starting at just $45. It's the Sherm's Markets Jackson County Fair, July 16th through the 21st. It's an ag venture. Get tickets now at theexpo.com. That's theexpo.com.
Did you know that with Good Guys Guns Background Concierge Service, customers get approved the same day? And for under 21-year-old customers, Good Guys Guns at 4934 Crater Lake Avenue gets you approved in half the time of the big box stores. That's right. Good Guys Background Concierge Service gets you your firearm faster than the other guys. And this service is free with every firearm purchase. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader. 4934 Crater Lake Avenue. Good Guys Guns.
Good Guys Guns.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
Good guys, good girls, I appreciate you calling. 770-5633, 770-KMED. There's open phones here for the rest of Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. All right. Now, then we had the end of the petrodollar a few weeks ago, right? We were talking about that a bit. It might get replaced with something else. Is it going to be something which is going to be as helpful as the petrodollar was for the American dollar health? Hard to say. BRICS may be getting a little stronger, still probably a little thin to get major support, but still thinking it's a good time to have some diversity to your portfolio and have some wealth preservation just in case bucks is stored outside of the dollar and in physical gold and silver. And that would be with my friends at J. Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers. Also, fortunereserve.com is an online portal, but better just to go talk with them. 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. And 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass, 482-3715. Get your appointment. Good people here. So given the potential impact of petrodollar being modified or maybe renegotiated with something different, now is an opportune time to invest. Diversify portfolio. Gold has a long history of maintaining its store of value. It's an inflation hedge here, too. And with the end of petrodollar starting to drive up some gold prices in some places, could see some appreciation over the several months. And besides, central banks are buying gold. You know, when the big money is buying something like that, maybe little money like we people need to kind of mimic some of that. All right. J. Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers. Ashland, Grants Pass. And it's GrantsPassCoins.com, JAustinBrokers.com, and FortuneReserve.com. Okay. All right. And let me go to Joel. Joel, you were just talking about the bogus fire in Northern Cal. That one broke out recently. Talking to the fire chief, you're down at the gas station, right? What's the story?
Yeah, they just took off in the water tender. And they told me it was contained to 200 acres. Little Bogus Creek Road, which I guess is above the Iron Gate.
Yeah. Well, 200 acres, keeping it down at that, and they're able to just mop it up at this point. That's good news. It's good news for your area, isn't it?
Yeah. No, Greg, what was the other fire that was happening down near Scott Valley or something?
Yeah, that's the one that that we're really concerned about. Shelley Fire is now at about 6,000 acres at last report. So it's blowing up pretty hard, and there's no containment on that one. So that's the one in Northern California. The one in Jackson County that we've been keeping an eye on, which is Salt Creek, it grew a little bit, but not much. It's like 1,700 acres, so they're having an easier time. It could be because a lot of this is burning on the burn scar of a past fire. So that may be why it's not blowing up to the same extent that it might have otherwise. Okay.
It had a little bit of fire break, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of that. So, well, I'm glad to hear Bogus won't be bugging you, but Shelley Fire, that's a big one. That's going to be a big one probably, okay?
What's the closest city to the Shelley Fire?
Shelley Fire, places like Cheeseville and Etna, you know, kind of that neighborhood.
Oh,
you know where that is?
That far over, okay.
Okay, that far over.
I see all the smoke's just rolling in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of smoke from that from what we're hearing, okay?
Yeah, we had some fire bombers cruising over my property last night.
Okay.
Some big four engines.
All right, Joel.
Yeah, all right. They'll keep up the good work.
All right, well, thank you very much for the update there. I'm glad Bogus was held so well. I'm going back to when I was in high school in Southern California. Oh, that fire is so bogus. You know, their surfer dude talk, you know? It's a bogus. Totally. Hi, good morning. KMED, KBXG. Who's this? Good morning.
This is Chris, who just lost the quiz.
Oh, I'm sorry you lost the quiz, but I'm glad you're here. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a pebble in my shoe that I think a lot of people can relate to, is that people that are working on their, but they're on their personal cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it everywhere, but I was just in the hospital for 10 days and was repeatedly having to tell the oncoming shift what was going on with me and when medications and vitals and all that kind of stuff. I said, you can look it up, you can read it. So instead of, like, looking up and reading and seeing what was going on with the patient and that kind of thing, they're, I don't know, playing solitaire, texting. I don't know what they're doing. But
are you serious?
Everybody's face. Oh, everybody from the cleaning ladies on up. The only people I didn't see on their cell phones were the doctors. And if they were, they were talking about a patient.
Huh. That's really interesting. And you've been in the hospital. So you're actually able to observe these people. That's a little concerning. You would think that if you are on the clock, you should be on the clock and not taking any personal calls whatsoever when you're in the medical. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's unrealistic to think about that. Now, the thing is, I'll take personal calls along with business calls when I'm here at work. The vast majority of it is business. But on the other hand, right. I'm not involved in injecting drugs into people. And I don't do too much of that, really. Yeah.
Well, and yet the other factor in the hospital in particular is the potential for HIPAA violations. I work in a call center. We are not allowed to have our cell phones anywhere near us. They must be off. They must be stored away while we're working because we are dealing with customer information. Well, HIPAA is like the next step up from customer information. It is like your life. You know, I mean, I don't know what anybody would do with my healthcare information. I don't know about the HIPAA laws in particular, but I don't understand how a nurse can be sitting at a station on their cell phone with an open computer in front of them.
That's an interesting consideration. I had not thought about that till now. It gets to be so typical that you see everybody on the phone at all times. You don't even get a second thought, Chris. Oh.
Right, no, the kid at Walmart that's stocking the shelves and is leaning up against something and texting, I'm like, whatever, that's Walmart's problem.
In other words, you would like the health professionals to truly completely shut out the personal, and if you're going to text or talk to someone, you do it on their break, and then it's their time, right? And there's probably some scheduled breaks that they have to take by
absolutely.
Union contract.
Well, even to have it on, you know, there's people with young children, there's people with old parents, there's, you know, so to get a little text and go, oh, okay, can somebody cover this? I've got to step off the floor. But I was literally having to explain to multiple nurses, okay, so no, this is not how we're doing it. This is what you need to do. Please read my chart. And in the meantime, I'm coming out, seeing them in a chair on their phone, leaning up against a wall on their phone.
Doesn't necessarily instill great confidence, does it, in the medical world?
You know, in the long run, I did receive very good care, but I just found it really disconcerting how many people, literally the cleaning ladies, the food people, the everybody.
I'm kind of curious if, because, you know, there's that Providence negotiation going on right now, and apparently the federal mediator is not they rejected that. The nurses rejected that. I'm wondering if personal cell phone use is covered in the ONA, the Oregon Nurses Association contracts. And I'm wondering if there's any bone of contention going on about that. I don't know what's going on.
I was at Providence. So.
Hmm. Oh.
And there were also a lot of, well, I don't know exactly what's going on there, but there were a lot of traveling nurses. There's a lot of nurses that were not actual Providence employees.
Mm-hmm.
There were some that were CNAs, I guess, are not involved in this. But they still, just a lot of personal cell phone use that I thought was really odd in that environment.
Yeah, in that environment, especially when there is so much liability for making a bad decision or if someone is distracted. Yeah, right. That's it.
Yeah, they almost gave me medication when they weren't supposed to because they give me an antihistamine, so I don't react to the medication. You wait an hour, and then it was an IV drip. They were doing a treatment on me. And I literally, the last night, I had to tell the nurse, she came in with the IV bag and the antihistamine, and I'm like, you can't do that.
Wow.
Oh, well, no.
And what had happened if you had not been paying attention and you had just been unconscious or for whatever reason or asleep, and then someone comes in and gives you something that you shouldn't have had? That's a little disconcerting. Maybe if people who are professional nurses can comment on what Chris was talking about with her experience. Is that typical, or are there rules? There may be rules about it. I'm a little flat-footed. I don't know, what all the rules and what the union contracts say on something like that. Maybe they can help us out, but thanks for bringing it up. That's a really big pebble. Okay, Chris?
Yeah, it is.
And by the way, you got good care, though, anyway, in spite of that. Well, given the fact that you saved yourself by telling the nurse, hey, don't give me that. But even then, are you better? Are you truly okay now? Just want to make sure.
No, unfortunately, they discovered a chronic condition. And so, but I have an answer. I have a direction. We know where we're headed. And I've got a really good doctor in the Valley that I'm following up with. So
good. Well, God bless you. And let's hope this all works out well. Okay. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. It's 8:56.
Jasper's Cafe, voted Medford's best burgers for 14 years running. Jasper's has been a local tradition for over 40 years. Come in and see for yourself why we've been recognized nationally for our amazing burgers featuring outrageous toppings and a delicious range of meats from local grass-fed beef to elk to bison and more. We're just 1 mile up North Pacific Highway from the mall, or check out our menu at jasperscafe.com. Jasper's, burgers with attitude.
You wouldn't spend several thousand dollars on a new car, then never change your oil, would you? Regular maintenance is intended to prevent mechanical failure. The same principle is true of your home's central air system. Join Advanced Air's Comfort Club for uninterrupted air conditioning all summer long. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to deliver reliable comfort and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com for preventative maintenance details and learn about Bryant heating and cooling products.
Intelligent, innovative, award-winning heating and cooling solutions. myadvancedair.com.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Hi, I'm Deb with Father and Son Jewelry, and I'm on KMED.
Appreciate you being here. Email of the day, and we have more of them tomorrow, but they're sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com, next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant, Central Point. While you wait, crowns available in some cases. They have an in-house lab. It is so cool. They showed me how it worked one day. Go to CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. You can find out more. Dr. Steve and the crew, pretty good. Glenn Archambault, I'm going to give him an email of the day for raising a thought-provoking question. Bill, in the last great fire, Talent Phoenix, the irrigation water was not used. The water was on and very close to the fires. Pressured pipelines were available to fill trucks. Remember, we ran out of water, according to the fire department. And we need to hear an explanation of the water situation, because it's a fire season. It's very interesting, because the hydrants that were used, though, as you know, ended up becoming useless, Glenn, after the houses started burning down because the pressure just ended up getting released. But I didn't understand that aspect of the TID water being available and why it was perhaps not used. There could be a reasonable explanation, but I'll see if I can find out, okay? Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com.
Artisan Bakery Cafe, your go-to for all things delicious. Now serving amazing summer specials. Try their turtle brownie, loaded with caramel and pecans, blueberry cream cheese coffee cake, chocolate.